called and had asked if I would kind of step in and fill in while he was, him and Susan are taking some time off. And I just said, it was kind of unique how the Holy Spirit kind of prepares us for things like this. And when I started to hear some things happen, the Spirit of God started to speak to my heart and prepare us for what has transpired even now. And really, I you can ask my wife, where's Brenda at? She walked out, didn't she, with my little grandson. Okay. But I was speaking with Brenda as far as in prayer about a month ago. And I felt in my spirit that I might be called in on this hurricane that hit here. And as I was in prayer and praying, I just heard this: confidence in crisis. You know, Philippians 1:6, it said, being confident of this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you. How many are here that he has begun a good work in? Let me see. Only about 3/4 of you. All right, well, we're gonna move to this point where God has done this thing in all of us, right? He's begun a good work in us. He's going to complete it until the day that he returns back. So I'm confident of that. And in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of circumstances that we face that we didn't want to face, we're going to see God pull through. You know, Brenda and I, we're celebrating 35 years of ministry. And And you know, we've weathered a few storms through the 5 years, 35 years of ministry. And immediately my heart went out to the body here in that of praying that God would protect, guard, direct, keep his hand upon you in particular. And I think it would be proper if we would just first of all begin to pray here this morning. And pray for Pastor Mitch and Sue, and just pray that God would have his way in the direction and the leadership of this ministry. So, Father, we take time right now to stop and pause, realizing the devastation that a hurricane can bring and that has been brought to this ministry. Lord, it can tear things apart. It only takes a matter of hours, what it takes a lifetime to build, to bring devastation and destruction. But Lord, I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding would abide with Pastor Mitch and Sister Susan and their family. With this body, I pray in Jesus' name that you would keep us in the shadow of the Most High. He said, if we abide there in the shadow of the Most High, he said, we'll be protected. You are our refuge and our strength. You're a very present help in the time of trouble. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would help us this morning. Open our eyes and our ears that we might hear and see what you're saying to us today. We pray this in the most powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You know, I was asked to come to the board meeting this past week, and it was my privilege and pleasure to sit with your leadership here, and was just overwhelmed with the sense that, you know what, this ministry is in good hands. There was a piece in our meeting, in our board meeting, that I can't really describe to you except that I sensed it and I was there. And I'm going to ask that Gordy Farnsworth and Hannah Herr, who are the co-chairs of this ministry, if they had come at this time. I don't know, there's Hannah right there. And I want you to know that in the transitional period here that we're facing, God has placed his hands upon, you're taking my microphone off of me, Gordy. Okay. Okay, you're taking the microphone off on the other side. I don't really like these things around your ears because I have big ears and it flaps all around. So anyway, you know what? I just appreciate so much Hannah's leadership and Gordy's leadership, and that God has placed this board. If you're a board member, would you stand as well too here? I think that, all right, you are placed in some pretty good hands here. And I want them to just share a little bit on their heart, what God has put on their heart before we jump into the message. This message that I'm speaking today is part one of this confidence in crisis. And the part one is Jesus calms the storm. And so we need to be confident of that too. So let me get...
Hello. I guess the one thing that I would like to say is I totally agree with Pastor Seppo. I've been impressed. I've been on the board 3.5 years, and we have had and still do have a wonderful mix of people, different backgrounds, different strengths, and I think I can speak for all of us that we feel very strongly that God called us to the board at the time that he did, because he knew the storms were coming. Of course, I knew we were looking for a building and going through all of that, but of course, none of us expected what we've been going through. But, and I must say, and I've mentioned this to a few people, I've had a lot of leadership positions in my life. I was a school administrator, and I was in elected office at one point in our old hometown. But I really wasn't looking to be in leadership positions again. But when I was asked if I would be on the board, I knew. I prayed, talked to God. I knew that this was a time and the place. And I think we all feel that way. Everybody that's on the board, and we appreciate your support. We're here to hear from you. I guess just to give you an idea, Gordy and I are kind of co-chairing because Pastor Mitch isn't here to run the board meetings, and Pastor Seppo's with us, but he's here as our spiritual leader. So during the day, because I'm retired, I'm kind of helping the staff with nuts and bolts, running things, the office, and if questions come up, financial questions. I'm also a trustee, so I'm helping our treasurer if there's any questions and so on, kind of helping to coordinate with the Joy Ministry and the Women's Ministry, and then Gordy can tell you kind of what he's taking some supervision for. But we want you to know that we are together. All of us, the board, as well as all of you. And we appreciate your help and support and your prayers. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say, except that we're trying to focus toward the future. This is the point that the board is trying to discern where we go from here and how we can build together and build our unity.
Well, thank you, Hannah. And thank you, Pastor Seppo. Yeah. And I agree, at the meeting, there was just a piece there that... it was even hard to understand, and your presence there was very much a part of that. So we thank you, and we thank you for stepping up to help us walk through this. All the board members who have been a part of several years of storms, it takes its toll. And I just want to say, you know, I appreciate everybody who's put the time, not just on us, but on our families as well. So through these times, we will come out stronger. And we're going to, as Grace Ministry, we're going to do what we do best, and we're going to do outreach, and we're going to minister to people. And we had an idea that we're going to put out to the congregation. October 14th, we are going to have a fall festival here, and that's, since we're not going to do a couple of the ministries we've done in the past, some of the outreaches, that's going to be our way to say, yeah, this is how we reach out to our community, and as a church, we're going to come together, and we're going to love up on each other and the community as well.
Amen. Hey, let's give a hand to the board here. Thank you so much. Appreciate your... And you know, it is going to take some time to put our hearts, our thoughts together. But I'm confident that he's going to help us every step of the way. I'm confident that he's got a plan for every one of your lives, for our lives. And, you know, I love that scripture, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans that he has for us, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans for hope and a future. And that is the promise that God has given us. We don't need to shrink back. We don't need to spend time, rehashing and going over and over different things by constantly focusing on those things that would drag us down and deter us from the path that He has for us. And that's not to minimize any problems here. I'm not trying to say that. But we need to keep our eyes focused and fastened upon the Lord, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that we need to always look to for help in the time of need. And so that's what we're going to continue to focus in. So, as we saw this video, it was quite interesting that I know several people that have places down in Florida. And I called probably about 7 people that have places down in Florida that this hurricane hit. And as you know, it was just in the media, the Category 5, watch out, the whole state's going to be wiped out. God's people started praying. They started to believe. They started to ask God, we need your help. We had 7 million people leave that state to seek refuge and to leave their homes. And man, thanks be to God that He intervened. And that, I mean, I think it was Marco Island, I think, took the biggest brunt, or really the Keys did, but then it hit Marco Island. And you know what? There was minimal. The hurricane went from 5 down to 1 eventually in land. And I thought, man alive, it could have been a lot worse. Could have been a lot worse. And everyone that I called had a varying degree of devastation that happened to their property. And that some from nothing at all. My mother-in-law had nothing at all in Sebring, Florida, to branches down. I called Brian Black, and I called David Black. Brian, he had just minimal, I think, roof damage to his place in Marco Island, where it hit the hardest. And then I think, David, you just said that there were some trees, the unit next door to you, I think the roof fell. But again, when you moved all around, there were minimal amounts of damages, but varying degrees of damages. And then the last one, I was praying with a pastor, and I was saying, thanking God for minimal damage. And he got mad at me because his mother-in-law, her house just was leveled, lost everything. And I thought, oh, I'm so sorry, Randy. I didn't mean to, hurt you in any way. But I was thinking, you know, there's been a hurricane that has hit Grace Ministries. And there's been varying degrees of how it has affected this ministry and people in this ministry. From really not affected very much to people that have lost and have gone and have moved on. And I thought, how appropriate is that word for us today? That, you know what, we're going to have to deal with the devastation of this hurricane. But you know what? God is faithful. And as we look to His Word, I think we can see something there. This is the title of this particular part one series of Confidence in Crisis. Jesus Calms the Storm. Mark 4, 35 through 41. If you have it up there, you can just put it up on the screen. This way it will help me. He says, on the day when evening had come, He said to them, let us go across to the other side. This is my point number one. Let us go across to the other side. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds really good. Jesus said, let's go. Now, you have to understand the context of this particular portion of Scripture. The people have, Jesus has been ministering. This is about midway point through His public ministry, about a year and a half in. And man, every day they were ministering to hundreds, if not thousands of people. And they had, this was at the end of a day, and they were going to take a break. And I thought, how appropriate. You guys have been working feverishly for 11 years, constantly going out there. I don't know how you can keep up with Pastor Mitch, because, man, he's a wild and crazy guy. But here, you know what? He said, you need to take a little time out. We need to go to the other side. And you know what? I think that it's very interesting when you start to look at this question, who was the one who had the idea to get into the boat? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So they got into the boat. And as we move on in that portion of Scripture, I don't know if you've got the whole portion or not, but as we, can you move to another verse there, the next verse? Leaving the crowd, they took with him in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. Have you ever noticed that? I've never noticed that little sentence. And other boats were with him. It's not in any of the other Gospels, but just that portion, and other boats were with him. You know what? We're the other boat. The other boats went with him. And you know what? There's a cost for discipleship. When you get into the boat, he's invited us on a journey of faith. And we've gotten into the boat. And we don't really even know where the journey is going to take us from time to time. We're trusting him one day at a time to lead us and guide us through our journey of faith. And we're that other boat that just got in with him, and we're journeying with him. And then we know that there was a storm that came on. Isn't that something? They were just trying to take a break. They just were, hey, let's go to the other side. And thank God, you know, there was rest and peace on the other side of the lake for them. They were looking for that, but they didn't realize that in looking for a little rest and peace, that there was going to be a storm. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it filled the boat that they were in. Can you imagine? The point being is that in the storm, the disciples said, Lord, don't you care about us that we're drowning? It says, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing or that we're asleep, that we're going to die? Interesting to note, have you ever asked that question? God, where are you? Don't you see what's happening? We don't understand what's going to happen in this crisis, in this storm. We think that Jesus is sleeping, but you know what? Jesus is still present. He's in the boat, he's sleeping, but he is still present with his disciples that are perishing in this boat. And I think that if you and I were in a boat and we were in a windstorm and the waves were crashing in, I think we would have a tendency to get into the natural and say, oh, God, help us. I know I would. Maybe some of you wouldn't. I thought it was interesting to note, too, that there was another portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14 that the disciples were in another boat situation, and Jesus told them to go out into the sea. He was going to stay back and pray, and he went out in the fourth hour, if you remember, of the night, and was walking on the water, and the same crisis was happening to the disciples in probably the same boat that they were in this particular situation. And they were going, oh no! Help us! And they saw somebody like a ghost coming out on the water. And obviously Jesus said, you know, hey, don't be afraid. I'm with you. And Peter again, right? Peter, he gets out. He says, if it's you, Lord, then bid me to come out. So he says, come. Come out onto the water. Isn't that something? So here he is. If you can imagine, walking on water during a wild storm. But again, we understand that Peter looked to the right, he looked to the left. He became so fearful of what was transpiring, he began to sink and he began to drown. He says, help! help, Lord, help. And Jesus immediately reaches out, pulls Peter up. See, we can find ourselves in the middle of the storm, and we can look at the winds and the waves, but he does not want us to be keeping our eye on the problem, on the devastation, and on all the winds and the waves that are raging around us. He wants us to keep our eyes fastened and focused on him, and as we look to him and as we cry out for help, he will help us. You know what? God's compassion is not measured by our circumstances, nor is his kindness limited to our understanding. God, don't you understand? Sure, he understands. Is he not compassionate? Sure, he's compassionate. He's there all the time. He's sleeping, but he's there all the time. I'm so thankful for these promises. In Hebrews 13, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. In Proverbs, he says, he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's not going to leave us, people. He is there with us. I love that poem. I think everybody knows that poem, right? About the footprints in the sand. And here we see those footprints. And then the individual looks back and said, God, where were you through the trials? I look back and I see him only my footprints. And then he said, no, he was there all the time. He was the one carrying us through the difficulty. So we need to understand that he will never leave us or forsake us. Here's point three here. What is his response? His response for help is what? Peace, be still. That is what our response is. We need to cry out for help. I'm sure you have in many different ways. But as we cry out for help, Jesus will help us. And in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. We need to call out on him just as the disciples called out on the Lord. Lord, don't you care about us? We're perishing. And so Jesus, again, he responds to it because they called out to him. And he says, peace, be still. I make that declaration. I declare that grace ministry, that the winds and the waves will cease in your life. And I proclaim, peace, be still. And if we truly put our trust and our faith in him, what will happen? The wind and the waves will obey him. Our eyes are fixed on him, and we will have peace in the middle of the storm and the chaos. So here is his response to us. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Isn't that something? Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith? Of course they believed in him, right? The disciples, they're in there, they believed in him. They had trust in the Lord. But you know what? Their faith was not yet matured. They were just at this stage of, whatever you say, Lord, you know. But they didn't really believe that he could intervene in their crisis situation. But what I'm saying to us, so the question for us today is, how do we obtain this mature faith that enables us to survive the storms of life? Isn't that a good question? How do we obtain this mature faith that enables us to survive the storms of life? Well, obviously, you know, time, right? Obviously, we've got to get into the boat. Obviously, we've got to trust and obey that he's in control, right? But I love this particular portion of Scripture, James 1, chapter 1 And starting with verse 1, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let the steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Isn't that something? We need to count it all joy. How crazy is that? Count it all joy. I must say that there is a time process that's involved with the whole situation here. Easier said than done. Okay, peace be still. All right, I get it. I can remember in my history of going through church situations such as this. It took me 2 years to recover. I don't want to put that on anybody. But you know, you just learn to trust. Even when you don't feel like he's there and answering your cries. I'm going to trust you today, Lord. I'm going to trust you today, Lord. I'm going to trust you today, Lord. Lord, if I didn't mean it yesterday, I mean it today. I put my trust in you today. You've got to be determined. That determination will produce within you a strength that no one can ever rip from you. And I can stand here today testifying to you today that I thank God for the trials and the tribulations that he has brought me through, because it has made me the man of God that I am today, that I can face the storm and say, "Peace, be still," in Jesus' name. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. He will always be true to his word. And if he's done it to me in the past, he will do it to me in the future. So again, we need to understand our focus and our attention needs to be on him through this crisis situation. I love this portion of scripture that Jesus finally said to the disciples in John 16:33. If you got it there, it says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." Isn't that something? In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That's a powerful scripture. Isn't that something? I say these things to you that you may have peace. Because in the world, you will have tribulation. You will have trials. But be of good cheer. Jesus has already overcome on our behalf. I love this. I was in your pastor's study, and as I was studying this morning a little bit, he had this on his desk, and I thought this was very appropriate. It says, "With trials, we grow stronger in faith. With faith, we move closer to God. With God, we can do all things." I thought, boy, isn't that a powerful reminder to us. I was reading this past week, even in preparation for today, and this author named Ray Pritchett, he wrote this, and I thought this was very appropriate. And Sonia, you can come at this time too. And he said this: when he calls us, we get into the boat. When he sleeps, we toil on. When the storm comes, we cry out to him. When he speaks, he calms the storm. When the storm is over, our faith is stronger. The master of the sea is at your side. When the time has come, he will say, "Peace, be still." And the storm will run out of breath. And the sea will become like glass. Eventually, the day will break and the sun will shine again. And when you look back, you will see that your faith has grown stronger by the storm you've passed through. Even the wind and waves obey him. So my prayer for each of you is that you will keep your eyes fastened upon the Lord, that you'll not look to the right or to the left like Peter. Obviously, it's raging. The storm is raging. I look forward even to next week. We'll talk about knocked down, but not out. Look forward to that. I look forward to helping you through a tumultuous situation, a situation that you weren't looking for. We've gotten into the boat. We've been obedient. Storm has come. I believe the storm has died just like that hurricane has died. And now we just have to look to the Lord for His guidance and His direction, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that He'll help us, He'll guide us, and He'll lead us. So, Father, as we look to You even this morning, I pray that this word has been an encouragement to the body here at Grace Ministry. I've been faithful to carry out what You've put in my heart. So, Lord, I look forward to the days that lie ahead. And while we're just bowing here, our eyes are closed, sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're here. And maybe, you know what, you just need an extra dose of the Holy Ghost to assure you that, you know what, that things will be all right. If you're struggling a little bit, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just raise your hand if you're out here today and you're struggling. All right, I see many hands that are raised out here. So, Father, only You can pour in the oil and the wine. The kind that restores, the kind that heals. Lord, we don't understand. I don't understand why these things happen, but they do. But Lord, we're here right now, and I'm asking that You would touch my brothers and sisters here in a very special way today. Let them leave this place encouraged, renewed in their faith, because Lord, our eyes need to be fastened on You. I pray You put a watch guard over our mouth, God, that is kills and destroys. God, there's many hurting people that are not here today, and we got to be very careful what we say about other people that have left. In Jesus' name, I pray a watch guard of the Holy Spirit would be put upon each mouth, that we speak only things that are edifying and encouraging and lifting up of one another in Your body. God, we don't have to have it all. We don't have to understand it all or explain it all. We just have to put our trust in You. And I know that as we do that, that You will get us through and You will take us to the other side safely. So I thank You for the privilege that You have allowed me, my wife, to be here this morning with this beautiful people. Man, this is a great congregation. People that have energy, that want to do things for the Lord. Devil is just out there laughing, thinking that he's done a good thing. Well, devil, I serve You notice in Jesus' name that you're defeated in Jesus' name. You are defeated. Lord, this body is going to continue to reach out and help others. Now, even while we're in this quiet time, this quiet place here, I don't know everybody here. I know quite a few of you. Maybe you've come today, and maybe you're a guest here at Grace. Maybe you've had a knowledge of God, but you really have maybe strayed away from the Lord. If you're here today and you say, man, I want to get it right with the Lord today. Is that anybody here that would raise your hand and say, you know what, I identify with that? Anybody here that said, I want to get it right today with the Lord? All right, we got one. Anybody else? Father, in Jesus' name, you see my brother. And Jesse, I think you see him as well. Jesse? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. We're not here to single out anybody. But Father, you know exactly how to minister life to my brother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fruit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can put us back together and get us on the right path. Bless my brother. Help him, Lord, as he cries out to you and says, help. That's all we need to do is say, help me, Jesus. And you're there. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for my brother. Make sure, Jesse, that we just touch base there and minister there too. Well, you know what, people? It's been a joy for me to be with you today. And I appreciate the presence of the Lord here. There's a real beautiful, you know, you're gifted. You got great people on staff, great board. You know what? We don't need to look to the left or the right. Let's just continue to look forward, and God will see us through. Amen? All right. Love you guys. God bless you.